The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. Adapted by Jane Revell. Trademark and copyright Universal Studios. All rights reserved. Published by Scholastic Limited as part of the Scholastic English Language Teaching Readers Series. The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. Prologue. The Dragon Emperor. The Dragon Emperor was the first emperor of China more than 2,000 years ago. The emperor was very strong, but his people were frightened of him. He killed anyone who did not agree with him. One dark night, the emperor and his soldiers were resting after another great fight. The emperor was looking at a map of China. He had a fantastic plan to build a great wall. The emperor wanted to be famous forever. Suddenly, a man rode up on a horse. He jumped down and gave the emperor a letter. The emperor read it and smiled. Later that night, the emperor was sleeping. Three men in black ran towards his bed. They didn't make a sound. In their hands were long knives. The killers stood quietly around the emperor's bed and held up their knives. Suddenly, the emperor opened his eyes and jumped up. He had a sword in one hand and a knife in the other. The knife was in the form of a dragon. The emperor killed the man behind him with his knife and pushed his sword through the second man. Then he threw the third killer into a chair and held the knife at his heart. "Who sent you, dog?" he shouted. "Tell me, and perhaps I will let you live."
"The King of Chu," the young man said.
"Good," said the emperor. "Good." He smiled. Then he pushed his dragon knife into the man's heart. The noise woke General Ming. He ran in.
"Oh, my emperor, I'm so sorry," he said. "I was not here to help you."
"All is well, my friend," said the emperor. "I knew about their plan, and I was ready. I wanted a fight against Chu. Now I have one. We will ride there tomorrow." For months, the emperor fought against the people of Chu. General Ming hated so much killing, but he said nothing. When the emperor caught Chu's soldiers, they had to work for him. They built his great wall. They worked until they could not stand up anymore. And when they died, the emperor threw them under the wall. After 20 years, the Great Wall of China was finished. It was thousands of kilometers long. Near the wall, in Ningxia province, the emperor built a beautiful temple. On top of the temple, he put a very large statue of himself. Under the temple was a special room. Here, the emperor studied and practiced black magic. "I will use black magic to kill those who are against me," the emperor said. But there was one more thing the emperor wanted. He wanted to live forever. One day, he heard there was a magician who knew the secret. He sent General Ming to find the magician. After months of travel, General Ming came to a mountain. On this mountain was a temple. The general climbed up to the temple and went in. Inside was a beautiful woman with long dark hair
and large dark eyes.
"I'm looking for the magician," the general said, surprised.
"My father died some years ago," the woman said. "Now I do his work. I am his daughter, Zizhen."
"My emperor wants to live forever," said the general.
"I can't do that for him," said Zizhen. "But perhaps I can help him find the answer."
Zizhen rode back to the emperor with General Ming. During the long ride, they fell in love. When the emperor saw Zizhen, he wanted her for himself.
"No man must touch her," he said to the general. "She is mine."
He turned to Zizhen.
"Can you help me?" he asked her.
"No, but I know where to find the answer," she said.
"Then go and find it," said the emperor.
Zizhen and General Ming travelled for months to the monastery of Turfan. Zizhen spent hours in the library. She was searching for something. Finally, she found a box. Inside was a paper with a message in a strange language.
It was the secret.
She ran to tell General Ming. Unluckily, one of the emperor's men saw her in the general's arms.
"He will tell the emperor," she said. "We must escape."
"No, we cannot do that," said the general. "We must go back and ask him to understand." When they arrived back, Zizhen went to the emperor.
"Your answer is here," she said, and held out a paper to him.
"You have done well," the emperor told her. "How can I thank you? I will give you anything."
"Anything?" asked Zizhen. "Then I want to spend my life with General Ming."
"Of course," the emperor said. "Read what it says on the paper."
Zizhen began to read in a strange language.
"Stop!"
shouted the emperor.
"What is this language?"
"It is a very old language," she said. "From a land at the end of the world."
She did not tell him that only a magician could understand it.
"Read on," the emperor said.
This is what Zizhen read. "The Dragon Emperor says my love and I can be together. If he does not speak true, put him in a terracotta tomb to live forever and ever." The emperor felt his blood grow warm. Zizhen's magic was working.
"Thank you," said the emperor. "Now I will live forever."
He walked to the window.
"Come here," he said.
Zizhen went to stand next to him. When she looked down, her heart stopped. Four horses held the general. Each horse faced a different way. The emperor spoke loudly so everyone could hear.
"Be my queen," he said, "and he can live."
"Don't believe him,"
shouted the general.
"He's right," said Zizhen. "You will still kill him."
The emperor laughed and waved his arm. The horses ran and pulled the general into pieces.
"Now it's your turn to die, Zizhen," said the emperor.
He took his dragon knife and pushed it into her side. Suddenly, the emperor felt terribly strange.
"What have you done to me?" he shouted.
brown water ran out of his eyes and all over his body.
"I have cursed you," said Zizhen.
She was badly hurt, but she smiled.
"I have cursed you and all those who kill in your name."
She escaped from the room. And then the fire inside the emperor began. He screamed and screamed. His soldiers ran to help him, but brown water ran out of their bodies too. Slowly, the emperor and his men all became terracotta statues. Zizhen got on her horse and rode off into the night. No one ever saw her again. Chapter 1. The Eye of Shangri-La. It was a beautiful spring afternoon in Oxfordshire, England. The year was 1946. The fat fish swam slowly along the river. Rick O'Connell watched it.
"You can run, but you can't hide," he said.
Rick was in his early 40s. He was slim and good-looking. He was also a great adventurer who travelled the world. But he wasn't very good at fishing. When he threw his line into the water, it caught in his hair.
"Ow!"
he shouted. He took out his gun and shot the fish. Rick drove home in his new car to his big house in the country. Rick was very rich. He was also very bored.
"Evie," he shouted, "I'm home."
Rick's wife, Evie, was a writer of adventure stories.
"Mrs. O'Connell is out," said the cook.
"Where is she?" asked Rick.
"She's signing books in London. She'll be home for dinner."
Later that evening, Rick and Evie were having dinner. It was fish.
"Isn't this nice?" Evie said. "A quiet dinner at home."
"Yes, great," agreed Rick. "Except that it's a quiet dinner every night.
Aren't you bored, Evie?" "Well, I haven't got any ideas for my new book," said Evie. "I always write about our adventures. But we haven't had an adventure for a long time. I've got nothing to write about."
"Hmm," said Rick.
"And I'm a bit worried about Alex," she said. "We still haven't had a letter from him."
"He only writes when he needs money," said Rick.
Rick and his son Alex did not always agree about things.
"That's not true, Rick," said Evie. "He's probably very busy with his studies."
"Busy with his studies? Our son?" said Rick. "You're joking."
The next afternoon, a man from the British Secret Police came to visit them.
"We want to thank you for your work in Egypt," he said. "And we have one more job for you, if you agree."
Evie looked at Rick.
"What is it?" they asked. "It's very easy," the man said.
He put a small box on the table.
"We want you to take this to the museum in Shanghai. I believe the boss, Roger Wilson, is an old friend of yours."
He opened the box and took out a blue diamond. Evie knew the diamond at once. It was the most beautiful diamond in the world.
"Oh," shouted Evie, "it's the Eye of Shangri-La. If you believe the stories, the eye points the way to the pool of eternal life."
"Wow, stay young and live forever," said Rick.
Where did you get it?
Someone took it out of China in 1940, said the man. Now we want to give it back. China is a dangerous place these days. We need you to.
Evie's brother Jonathan lives in Shanghai. He has a nightclub there. We haven't seen him for a long time, Rick said.
Yes, perhaps we could surprise him, smiled Evie.